Greetings from John Paul Jones Arena, and welcome to another edition of the Virginia Athletics Podcast. I'm your host, Jeff White from VirginiaSports.com, and my guest today is Mark Allen, the head coach of UVA's men's and women's squash teams. Mark, good to have you back on the show. How are you doing?
I'm good. Thanks for having me, Jeff.
Your teams moved from club to varsity status at UVA before the 2017-18 academic year. Each one recently completed its second varsity season. The women finished ranked number 11 nationally, I believe, and the men were number 12. First, congrats on those accomplishments. What were the highlights of the two seasons for you?
It's been steady progress for the 6 years I've been here and a continuation of that with the 2 years as a varsity sport. I think for us this year, you know, the highlights, we formed an unofficial conference this year. We formed an unofficial conference this year. There are a lot of squash teams that don't have a natural conference. We don't, you know, there are no other ACC schools.
Right.
There are a lot of schools in a similar position to us. So we kind of formed an unofficial conference this year and had the first team championships for that. And I think probably one of the highlights for us was both the men's and women's teams won that tournament.
What do you call it? What do you call that tournament?
This year we call it the Mid-Atlantic Team Tournament. And we're hoping to actually, take that further next year and make it an official conference.
Who else is in that conference with you?
Yep, this year on the men's sides it was MIT, George Washington University, Franklin and Marshall, Dickinson College, and us. It was the same team on the women's side, minus MIT. Next year, Naval Academy are coming out into that men's side, as well as on the men's side, Drexel University.
Uh-huh.
Drexel on the women's side as well, and probably, hopefully, Mount Holyoke as well. So it's the teams right now that don't have conferences coming together to form one.
Your men, I believe I read, beat Princeton and GW for the first time ever
this
year, right?
That's right, yeah, yeah.
For people who aren't familiar with the landscape of the sport, how big a deal is that?
That was huge. I mean, the Ivy Leagues, you know, have traditionally dominated this sport. It has changed a little bit in the last 10 years, but Princeton have always, you know, been a powerhouse. We did have a Ivy League win against Brown a couple of years ago, but Princeton certainly is the first team, I would say. You know, it's the first team that we've been that's been a national championship winning team. So it was a huge win for the men at the time that they had it, and was a big reason why we actually moved up. At one point we got to 9 in the country this year on
right.
the rankings and finished at 12 but got up to 9, and that was a lot. That was because of that big win against Princeton.
Your men finished 4th at I may not get the pronunciation, is it the Hound Cup?
The Hound Cup, yes.
Hound Cup, spelled like Dave Kane,
yeah,
with an H. I have to tell him to change his pronunciation. That's the B division of the College Squash Association Team Championships. The women placed 3rd at the Kurtz Cup, which is the B division for their CSA team championships. What are the tournaments called for the A divisions in those, and how many teams qualify for those?
So, actually tested me there because I don't think I can remember the names of either of those.
But how many teams
but
go
in there? So the brackets are done in 8 sections. So the top 8 teams go into the A division, the next 8 teams into
right.
the B, the next 8 teams into the B. So, you know, our goal this year was to actually try and win that B division for both teams. We didn't quite get there. At certain points during the season, we were ranked 9, which in theory puts us, I think the women went into that as number 1 seeds. Actually 2 seeds, and the men went in as 1 seed. So we definitely didn't quite have the national championships at the end of the season that we were hoping for. I think both teams peaked a little bit earlier in the season, in all honesty. But that's something we're going to be looking at and trying to change
right.
for next year. I do think both teams actually have a chance, okay, of sneaking into the A division next year, okay, with the recruits we're coming in and the expansion of the program and on all the things we're doing. So our goal next year is to sneak into that.
Today.
We'll be to sneak into that A position.
In any sport, it's difficult to move from being top 10 or top 15 to being top 5 and a legitimate national championship contender. What's the key for UVA as you attempt to make that jump? Is it recruiting? I mean, you have a fantastic facility, so I'm guessing that's not a big concern.
No, I think it's, we have the best facility in the country. I think you know, although you want to become a national championship, you know, winning team, each year really does have to build on the year prior to it. You don't suddenly go you don't go from a club program at 36 in the country to number one.
Right.
So I don't think that it's like, you know, next year's change is any more dramatic than a change from this year to last year. It's incremental progress each year. You know, we're attracting higher level players, and the year after that we attract even better players because they're looking at the ones we have. So it's, you know, each year you kind of build on the year before, and it's been a steady climb. I think what is true is obviously is moving up two places on the ranking spots like both teams have done this year is probably as big an achievement as moving up 9-10 spots when we were ranked 36-37 in the country. So obviously each spot that you move up when you get up this high, okay, is really hard earned and doesn't come easy.
We mentioned the MacArthur Squash Center, which opened at the Boar's Head Resort in 2013. What makes it such a great facility?
Well, you know, it's one of the newest, you know. So, you know, a lot of the teams we compete against, you know, have been playing in, you know, for a long, long time and were state-of-the-art facilities when they were built, okay. But some of them are starting to get a bit dated now, as is obviously brand new. You know, there's a lot of attention to detail. I mean, not only do we have, particularly with the new courts that are built, the extension now, we're one of the biggest facilities, which, you know, we weren't before, but we definitely are one of the nicest. One of the things that's lovely about MacArthur Squash Center, I think a lot of facilities are built, the squash courts are big, they take up a lot of square footage, so a lot of the time I think that you try and go, you know, facilities, you cramp as many courts as you can into a very tight space, okay, and you know, that gives you obviously the maximum number of courts, but then it leaves the facility a little bit cramped, okay, and you have to cut back on some of the other things. One of the things that's great about MacArthur Squash Center, which was one of the big reasons why it was taken off of ground so we could have more space, but you know, there's nothing cramped. We have the courts we want, but there's plenty of space in the corridors, there's balconies, there's all this space that you typically don't find in squash facilities, okay, certainly college facilities, and I think that's one of the big things that makes it really attractive.
Virginia remains the only Power 5 school to offer men's squash as a varsity sport, and it's one of only two Power 5 schools, along with Stanford, to sponsor varsity women's squash. Is that a big selling point for you in recruiting? I mean, at a Power 5 school, depending on what the student athlete is interested in, there's, you know, there's a higher level of football and basketball if they're interested in that, you know, academically they're different.
Yes.
Probably more offerings too in some cases.
I think one of the things that we're trying to work out, and by we, I mean our coaching staff, myself and Grant Mustafa, is what is our pitch, okay? Because, you know, we are something, I think, a little bit different to what everyone else is. You know, we're not an Ivy League school, okay? There are no other Power 5 schools competing. You know, a lot of the schools that compete in squash are NESCACs. We're the only public school. We're the only school really in the South offering a strong program. So we are different in a lot of ways, and one of the things we're trying to, you know, we've been really trying to work out is what is our pitch to these student athletes, okay, and how are we presenting ourselves? We are different, okay, and how do we emphasize that? And as a result, you know, how do we get the recruits that we want and position ourselves, you know, slightly differently from the opposition? So that's still a work in progress, but we're definitely different, and we're definitely something unique. We just have to figure out how we how we communicate that.
You added a new assistant coach this year, Mustafa Bayomi, who's a former player on the Egyptian national team. What has having another coach meant for you and Grant White, who's your holdover assistant? I'm guessing logistically managing two teams with two coaches was quite a challenge, wasn't it?
Most of the squash teams that we compete against have one head coach, and they run both the men's and women's programs, but almost all of them have two assistants, and whether they actually have a men's assistant or a women's assistant, or whether they share them off the program. So we were really only one of the you know, schools that are, you know, bigger schools doing this, okay, that were really trying to, you know, make it work with one assistant. So having an extra pair of hands has made all the difference.
Do you divide them up?
No, all three of us work across both programs equally. Mustafa's, you know, been a great addition. You know, he's 25 years old. He's still very connected to, you know, he offers that perfect bridge between, you know, guy who's long in the tooth like me and the young players, okay? And you know, he's still young enough to run around and whip up along the squash court, okay, in a way that Grant and I can't. And, you know, he's been a great addition. He also, you know, Egypt is the number one squash playing country in this country, in this world, by a mile right now, okay? And obviously, he, you know, that's his home country and he's connected to it. And so certainly in terms of, you know, getting our message out there to recruits, it's been a huge help and has already paid dividends. For us.
The College Squash Association held its individual championships last weekend in Providence, Rhode Island. UVA had 6 representatives, 4 women and 2 men. I was struck when I was reading the releases about that of those 6, only one, Emily Woodworth, is not a first year here.
Yes.
You had Will Holy and Patrick McElroy on the men's side and Caroline Baldwin, Mandy Haywood, and Emma Jinks on the women's side. Is there a lot of young talent in your programs? And does that reflect the fact that you've gone varsity and
very much so.
And been able to maybe attract a different caliber of recruit?
Yeah, and I think it goes back to a little bit what we were saying earlier. Each class builds on the class before. So, you know, this group of freshmen overall were stronger than the freshman class before it, and next year's class actually are going to be slightly better than this this class. And that's happened every single year that's been here, okay? So, you know, the fact that we had the, our first years there and Emily, okay, you know, it was all upperclassmen and you know, they are, if you look at our team right now, you know, our number 1 and 2 players on the men's side were freshmen this year. We finished off with our number 1, 2, and I think, you know, 4 player on the women's side or 5 player were freshmen again. And that actually will, you know, certainly on the men's side is going to be true next year as well. So each class that comes in is, you know, is coming in strong. The hardest part of that has been managing, you know, as players move through the program. It's, you know, I really admire our players that have come in at the top end and got much better as squash players, but then see themselves have to
you're
move
not
down the
order.
You know, and that's and I really, really can't speak highly enough, you know, of our players that have had that happen to them and just actually just not let it affect their ability to you know, lead this program as senior players and just make a huge contribution.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. Kind of at the other end of the spectrum in terms of experience in the program are your departing seniors. When they came here, it was a club sport. They're leaving with it as a varsity sport, so they've been part of that transition. You know, what have they meant kind of to the building of this program?
Yeah, well, this group, I mean, it's their legacy as much as any, you know, what they're leaving behind, the 8 seniors that we have, you know, graduating from this program this year have played a huge part, really, in that transition from club to varsity. Right. You know, they were obviously overjoyed when they saw that happen, but when they came as a freshman class, they had no idea that was, you know, that wasn't an expectation. It was obviously a hope, but not an expectation. So, you know, they played a huge role in getting us to where we are today. You know, I think it's they can feel really good about where they're leaving this program and how it's moving forward.
So when you look at the rosters for your 2 programs, you see players from Barbados, Canada, Hong Kong, Brazil, South Africa. I know Egypt will be a priority going forward. Is college squash in the United States something that top players from around the world find appealing, opportunity to play here and study here?
Absolutely. It's you know, and it's starting to become more and more attractive. So, you know, we have a next year where we have a couple of Egyptian guys coming in. We have a female player hopefully coming in from Ecuador. So, you know, it really is an international sport. And, you know, is for a lot of these international players, I mean, squash isn't a big money sport, so even for the very top players, okay, they understand the importance, okay, of, you know, they're not going to retire from squash as millionaires. So even the very best players are waking up to the idea that an education first is a really good idea. Now, it used to be that if you wanted that if you wanted that education, you did have to sacrifice on improving your squash for 3 or 4 years. But I think with the growth of squash in the States and within college, that's not true anymore. You can come get a great education and get better and better as a squash player for the 4 years that you're here.
So the 2018-19 season, college season, is officially over. What schedule do your returning players and the coaches, you know, keep from now until you get back in the fall and you start training for 2019-20.
Yep, we give them some time off now. Okay, some time. It's been a long season. It's been a hard season, yeah. And we give them a few weeks off. Okay, and then but then we come back the other side of spring break, and a week after that we actually start our spring training. They'll be working out. They'll do much more of the work off of the court. Mm-hmm. You know, so they'll be doing that right through up until exams. Okay, and then they'll go home for the summer. You know, they've got internships and all the different things they do during the summer. But you know, we'll be expecting them to get back at it sort of starting beginning of August. We don't play a first match till mid-November, so you know they get a good 2 months of preparation. Once
do they play in tournaments on their own in the summer typically?
Again, that's kind of the changing phase of the program. Is traditionally no, but I think that's starting to happen now. Okay, with the, you know, as the level moves up each year, okay, you know that's starting to happen more and more.
Well, good. Well, congrats again on a successful season. I know many more are to come, and best of luck this offseason.
Thank you. Thanks very much, Jeff.
So this is a busy weekend for UVA athletics, from teams from a variety of sports competing here in Charlottesville and elsewhere. For schedules and information on all 27 of our varsity teams, visit virginiasports.com. I'll be back next week with another podcast. Until then, thanks for listening, and go Hoos.